All right, so we're taking a look at healthy personalities for this edition of Health Matters. I want to give you just an idea of some of the people, some of the groups that the authors of this study consulted. And I want to mention that five-factor model, because I know that might be confusing. Because you might be thinking, wait a minute, hold up, you're saying five-factor model, but you're talking about 30 traits. Yeah, basically the way it is, they had five traits with six facets in each of those five traits, and that's where they get 30 traits from. So, the sample of experts that they consulted in helping them focus on personality, profiling the healthy personality, included 137 psychologists, whose average age was 38 years old, 60% identifying as female, 54% having a doctoral degree, 71% involved with research. The other experts included 77 researchers working within the positive psychology tradition, where the average age was 49, and similar profile as the first expert rating group. They also had students who were drawn from campuses, plural, affiliated with two of the study authors, but both in the U.S., there were slightly more than 500 students in these samples, average age 21 years, 76% female. So, from experts to college students, the rating task provided some strong convergence in the healthy personality qualities. The profiles that they generated included low scores on all facets of neuroticism, high scores on openness to feelings, positive emotions, and straightforwardness. How many of you are straightforward? Not ugly, not mean-spirited, but just candid, straightforward. The only difference between lay people, that is students, and the experts involved gregariousness and excitement-seeking, both of which are facets of extroversion. Students weighed these more heavily than did the experts in constructing the healthy personality profile. Again, the students weighed gregariousness and excitement seeking more heavily than the experts in constructing a healthy personality profile. Average age of the students, again, 21. And they weighed more heavily excitement seeking as part of the healthy personality and gregariousness as part of the healthy personality. The second set of studies tested the healthy personality profile for stability over a 2-week period. And then, using a longitudinal data set from Germany, they examined stability over the far longer period of 5 years. So, a stability profile of a 2-week period, and then another one covering a 5-year period. They also took advantage of data from the German study to examine the extent of agreement between identical twins as an assessment of the potential heritability of the healthy personality qualities. So if, you know, healthy personalities can be passed on, passed into the genes. Let's see. And so they took a look at twins. The results extended the findings from the first study to show that the high stability and even heritability of the healthy personality profile, extending from showing the existence of and stability of the healthy personality profile, the research team then went on to examine how adaptive to adjustment people high in these qualities would be. As expected, people whose own personalities closely matched the healthy profile were positively adjusted, as indicated by high self-esteem, positive self-concept, a clear sense of self, and high levels of optimism. They showed considerable self-control and had low scores on measures of aggression. Although overall narcissism scores did not relate to the healthy personality profile, there was a tendency for those at the healthy end of the scale to be somewhat grandiose, and self-sufficient. Would you say that these are possibly subjective profiles? They did not, unlike people who fit the narcissism personality disorder definition, have high scores on exploitativeness. The folks who were kind of high on the grandiose and self-sufficient end of the scale did not score high on exploitativeness, whereas people who fit the narcissism personality disorder definition do score high on exploitativeness. In the psychopathy domain, on the two qualities that were considered adaptive, which are boldness and stress immunity, healthy people had higher scores, but they had low scores in the maladaptive areas of blame externalization and lack of control. Makes sense to me. All right, so if a person is bold, that is considered adaptive. If a person is able to handle stress well and extend, you know, experience stress immunity, they call it, they're considered adaptive. Because, you know, if a person is able to adapt to various situations that could be stressful, then you can see why they'd be considered to be stress immune. That doesn't mean they never experience stress. Everyone is going to experience stress at some time or another. But these people are far from letting stress overwhelm them. From a developmental standpoint, the authors maintain that in contrast to what midlife crisis theory would imply, the healthy profile indicated that experts consider those traits as particularly healthy that tend to be most pronounced in middle adulthood. The traits that are particularly healthy also tend to be most pronounced in middle adulthood, the time when a lot of people have said, at least traditionally, that people, and they used to say men in particular, now they're saying maybe women too, but it experienced midlife crisis. How many of you have ever experienced, would say that you experienced midlife crisis? What tipped you off? What gave you the impression that you were experiencing midlife crisis? What exactly is midlife crisis? I know some people say, oh, yeah, so-and-so went out and bought that new sports car, 55 years old, and buying a new sports car. And they would say, well, that person is experiencing, that man's going through midlife crisis. Maybe. But you know what else it could be? It could just be that is a car that he has always liked, maybe since he was a teenager, but never could afford it. And so finally, by the time he hit middle age, he was able to afford a Corvette. Used to call him Stingray. How many of y'all remember when the Corvette used to be called Stingray? And then they changed the name to Corvette, and the name Stingray went away. So what do you think? Yeah, I mean, it may not be that he's experiencing midlife crisis. You think we should look at that one incident, that one factor in his life, and say that's proof positive he's suffering from midlife crisis? He just went out and bought a Corvette. Well, what about the person who buys a Mercedes for the first time when they're in their 50s? Is it because they're experiencing midlife crisis? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Here's one of the things that they determine with regards to healthy personalities. If you don't have a healthy personality, you can still work on gaining qualities that will help you get there. So the process of achieving fulfillment is one that anyone can work on over time if our personality does not meet the profile of optimum health. With the knowledge that being emotionally stable, open to creative ideas, straightforward, and responsible, all contributing to psychological health, working toward this fulfillment may very well be an achievable life goal. So let me share those with you one more again. Some of these traits that they say typify healthy personality. By the way, what are your thoughts about the traits that they've come up with? The person is emotionally stable. They're open to creative ideas. They're straightforward. And they take responsibility. All right. When we come back, something else I want you to help me look into. Opportunity zones. Opportunity zones have been said to be something that can be very, very helpful to communities all across the nation. I'd like for us to take a look at what the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities has to say about that. I'll be calling them the Center for short. And, well, let's hear what they have to share with us about opportunity zones. That up as soon as we reconnect, which will be in just a few.